פסק הבא, חול מועד פסח.
First of all, let me say what a pleasure it is to come back here. It's like a, you know, old friend. So hopefully, I've got a particular tino against you. This is the weather. We landed this morning Chodesh Aviv. I'm looking for it. It's muzayin that the Chodesh Aviv is gezot for Eretz Yisrael. It's interesting, just you know, en passant, having mentioned Chodesh Aviv, the Tells of Rav says a very important yesod on that. People think Chodesh Aviv, that Bnei Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim. Bonishem had Rachmanos on them. Oh, over a million people coming out, men, women, children. I'll make the weather pleasant for them, not too hot, not too bad. Chodesh Aviv, it's not the way it works. It's not at all the way, says the Tells of Rav. Because the Yidden came out of Mitzrayim, then the weather has to fit the needs of the Yidden. Not, as it were, like the Bernishtam is doing the Mechesed. That's the nature of the world. When the Yidden come out, Mamela, it's Chodesh Aviv. And the causative factor is the Yid, not the weather. The weather is a totsor, not a cause. It's an effect. And I think that's an important yesod to begin with today. I thought today we can relax a bit. We don't have a program, we don't have a seder, we don't even have a title. We can just ramble along a little. So let's ramble together. Seder is important. I don't think anyone would dispute that. Rav Lev Chassman, who was called the Eloi of Musa by Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel, said, if you had to give advice to a Chedi Yingala, he'd say, have a Seder. If you'd have to give advice to a Rash Bahag, a God Ladar, have a Seder. For everybody, you need a Seder. It was obvious you need a Seder. Let's make a cup of coffee together. Right, so I put down the cup. I don't know which way you do it here, milk, sugar, if you have those things nowadays, a bit of coffee, a bit of water. Good. Let's change the Seder. Let's first of all put the milk there, and the sugar, and the coffee, and the water, and then we put the cup there. Shame about Moiska Zaina. You don't have a big mess. You've got to have a Seder. It's in a trivial sense, but everything in the world seems to run on a Seder. But if we think about it more profoundly, we'll realize that the Seder which we see is not the real Seder. It's the Achizas Einayim Seder. It's the Seder which is there to cover up the emes. Let me tell you what I mean. We have a principle that V'hoyom Shemayah Tishmim Nasati Gishmachem B'yitom and so on. There's a factor which causes rain. Rain is not haphazard. It comes according to the Masim of the Yid, of the people. Similarly, all the Hatzlocha you have, it doesn't come through your Hishtadlus. It comes completely Miyara Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the best limit of that was the Mon. The Mon was something which came Min HaShamayim as a remish to us. And therefore, the Emes HaSeder, this is the Maharal, the Emes HaSeder, says the Maharal, is in Ruchnius. And therefore, the Leil Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is a record of the supernatural, of the extraordinary events which took place during the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, is called the Seder. But the real Seder is in Ruchnius and not in Gashmius. And we have to get used to that idea. And it's an idea which it's easy to say and difficult to live with. That the idea which Rabbi Dessler once put this way, nobody ever missed his bus. If it was your bus, you wouldn't have missed it. The idea is that there is a controlling feature which covers the whole world, and that is the real Seder in Ruchnius, according to our Masim. What's the Seder of Yetzias Mitzrayim? I'm now using Chochma Musa Reb Simcha Zissel. I just mention the references that people want to look up the Inyonim. I'm just in Medaleg Alahoim, but just to mention where you can find it. It's near the beginning of the Sefer, actually. There is a Seder to the Yetzias Mitzrayim. First of all, he didn't have got to daven. The Tal Shavosom al Hashem Mina Avodo, that al Kim Mina Avodo. The tefillahs of Bnei Yisrael reached the Kodesh Baruch Hu Mina Avodo. What's the significance of Mina Avodo? Mina Avodo means they really meant it. When a person is doing backbreaking work under slave conditions and he shouts, he cries, he really means it. And to show you, you must have tefillah. Well, not stam tefillah. Not the stam of let's be yotzer tefillah, where you don't even realize, the Pali Musa say, it's a bit cruel to say, but someone, Bal Musa said, for some people, the only time they think during davening is the Shir Shal Yom. Have to decide which day it is. It's not Chas V'Sholom meant to anybody, but there is an element of that. We don't have to daven. It's daven tzachalein. You know, you start at the beginning and suddenly you're finished. That's not the tau shavosom el kim min avodo. We tell you a little story. Why not have a little story to compensate for the weather? I heard this actually from my chavrusa Rav Meir Roberg Shlita. He heard it someone called Rav Moshe Tenenbaum, who was the head of the Vade Yeshivas at the time of the Chazon Ish. There was a top minister in Ben Gurion's first government. His name was Tuvia Aran. He could have been Minister of Education, I'm not sure. But he was a minister. And he was a big chosid of Ben Gurion. He thought Ben Gurion was war. He's going to solve all the problems of the Jewish world. Ben Gurion himself said, and Naisha Mensch, he thought he could solve the issues. He said, as soon as we have 4 million people living in Israel, we won't have any more problems with the Arabs. Good. We don't expect Ben Gurion to know. But in any case, he was a big chosid of Ben Gurion. And after every cabinet meeting, he used to come home and extol the virtues of Ben-Gurion to his wife. What a wonderful leader he is and how charismatic. Alamilas. There was a famous meeting of Ben-Gurion with the Chazon Ish. And we'll talk about that in a moment. This Yid, Tuvia Aran, had a son who was brought up in a completely non-religious environment. And you know, I remember coming to Eretz Yisrael about that time, very early anyway, not so long after the state. I remember Ben-Gurion giving a drosha, seeing him give a drosha in his shirt sleeves, shrying avek, you know, as if, I'm gonna be the answer to 2,000 years of Yiddish Tzoros. Right. Be it as it may. He had a son, this Tuvia Aran, who was brought up non-frum. Years later, there was somebody in Herzliya who went to daven mincha on a weekday. And he saw there Tuvia Aran's son, but he didn't come to say Kaddish. On the contrary, he was davening very erlich, mila b'mila, mamash, like a charedi yid, like a top yeshiva bocha. And he was very, very moved by this, because this fellow was a former yid, and he knew Tuvia Aran, and he knew the setup, and he didn't expect this from Tuvia Aran's son. And he came over to him afterwards and he said, it's lovely to see you here. I'm so pleased that, Baruch Hashem, that you're davening as a erlich. But, you know, it's like to know, how did you get to this? He said, I'll tell you the truth, I'll tell you what happened. That every week, when they had the weekly cabinet meeting, then my father used to come home and tell my mother about how wonderful Ben-Gurion was. After the meeting of Ben-Gurion with the Chazon Ish, Ben-Gurion was very taken by the Chazon Ish. And the next cabinet meeting was devoted to talking about the Chazon Ish. And my father came home and told my mother, Ben-Gurion spoke about the Chazon Ish like one of the prophets of earlier generations. She was so moved that she thought, if Ben-Gurion is the answer to all our problems, and he praises the Chazon Ish, a Kavachomer, well, the Chazon Ish must be even greater. She didn't keep much, but Friday night she used to light Neves Shel Shabbos, and she used to offer a personal prayer. Every week she used to daven at time of Hadlokas, one of the very few mitzvahs she did, to have a son like Ben Gurion. After the story of the Chazon Ish, she changed it. She said, I want to have a son like the Chazon Ish. This must be very great. So the young man said to the fellow in Herzliya, I'm the result of that. All my life I had this achiza to Yiddishkeit, because my mother, Tamolga Davant, she once davened and said, I want to have a son like the Chazon Ish. He didn't go all the way to the like the Chazon Ish, but nevertheless he became an Erlich Yid. That's the tefillah of somebody which is not even, it's not even as the tefillah of a Shomer Torah mitzvah, but it's meant. That's the beginning of the Geula. It's got to be an Erlich tefillah. Then that sparks off responses within Bnei Yisrael. Because there's a cloud godel that Yeshua's for Bnei Yisrael can only come through Achdus of Bnei Yisrael. It's a cloud which goes all the way. At the time of Purim, Esther said, Lech kenos eskol Yehudim, unite them. That was at Purim. For the Mishkan, the Yakel Moshe, whenever you want Hashuas Hashchino, you have to have Achdus. Achdus manifested itself in the personality of Moshe, who was Nosav Oelim Chaveiro. Moshe had this exceptional midah of Nosav Oel. And what did he do, Moshe? He says, V'yigdal Moshe, V'yetze Alechov, Zogdrashi Noson Einov, V'libo Lias Meitzo Aleihim. His whole being was given over to being, to feeling for the Eden. And Simchas Yisrael points out, he says, V'yigdal Moshe, it's written twice, V'yigdal. He grew up physically, but he also was made a leader in the home of Paro. The normality is, when someone does tovus to you, you get closer to them. This should have led him away from the Eden. And don't forget, in that sort of society, the slaves were dispensable, they were nothing. And somebody brought up in the royal palace with prospects of being a country leader in the future, the last thing he would think about is caring about Avodim. And Moshe Rabbeinu, in spite of all that, V'yigdal Moshe, Nosaneinu V'libelius Meitzvalem, a Moedika Dauga of Nosa V'Oyolim Chaveiro. He felt the Tsar of the Eden. And how did his Nosa V'Oyol continue? By Daugas. First of all, Mitzri was hitting a Yid. He intervened. Two Yidin were quarreling. He intervened. He was always Nosa V'Oyol. He couldn't stand injustice. Ad B'nei Kach, that when he went to Midian, there in Midian he had the problem of seeing the daughters of Yisroel, was Yisroel had been chosen a tshuva from his Avodah Zorah, they were being pursued by the shepherds, Moshe intervened, he was Nosa Ba'ol. And the climax was when a lamb drifted from the flock and Moshe found it was thirsty and he picked up the lamb with great chesed, and he was Nosa Ba'ol even with a dumb creature. And the Rebbeinu Shlom said, such a person can be Nosa Ba'ol im Yisrael, he can be my manhig. How did Moshe Rabbeinu see the snare? As a manifestation of a Shechinah HaKadosha. Why in a snare? A bush is the lowest of the vegetation. Kodesh Baruch Hu could be Ba'arze Alvonoi. No. The Rebbeinu Shlom is Nosa Ba'ol im Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is Nosa Ba'ol, and how does he see the Rabbeinu Shalom as a Nosa Ba'ol? The universal principle which I call parallelism. In the Midas which one excels, one sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the Soid of Tzelem Elokim. You're given the Midas to work on, in order that through working on your Midas, you'll see a reflection of them in the Shechinah HaKadosha. And that's the Tzelem Elokim which is in us. Moshe Rabbeinu worked on his Madrega of Nosa Ba'ol, and he saw Kodesh Baruch Hu as the Nosa Ba'ol. And he realized, it says, B'chol Tzorosom Lo Tzar. And all the Tzar which Bnei Yisrael have, Kodesh Baruch Hu shares their Tzar. It says the Svasemis, Lo Tzar is written with a Vav, but it's also a Creek Siv, it's got a Lo with an Aleph. If we believe that Lo Tzar with a Vav, says the Svasemis, it becomes Lo Tzar with an Aleph. If we realize the Kodesh Baruch Hu is with us in every tzar which we have. And then the Rebbeinu Shalom shows himself to Moshe, as I said, in the snare. And the snare represents, in a way, the whole of Am Yisrael. It's Bo'er Ba'esh. For thousands of years they tried to destroy us, and Baruch Hashem, we're here. We're here on this Chodesh Aviv enjoying the Manchester weather, and we're laughing at them in that respect. We're still around, and Mr. Hashem will be here for the duration. That's the Nitzrius of Yisrael. We'll come to that in a minute. What is the next stage in the Seder of Geula? The Rabbeinu Shalom is Nosa Ba'oil. He's over the Halgoshus of Tshuva for Bnei Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu shows the Osos to Bnei Yisrael. Says the Sfas Emes that the Bnei Yisrael needed a chizuk. They needed a chizuk in order to understand what was going on, in order to appreciate they were being redeemed. Because the person gets a golos concept. He gets a feeling of being a golos mensch, a tzebrochen mensch. They say you need two Mashiachs, Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef. One is to take the Eden out of golos, and the second is to take the golos out of the Eden. Mm-hmm. This idea that a Yid is somehow less cholila than the goyim. The Rabbeinu Shem gave osos, and I'm quoting now Sfas Emes, he says, Hayetochein, that before the Geula Asida, the Rabbeinu Shem will show us Nisim to give us a chizuk to sustain and appreciate what the Geula is all about. And the Bnei Yisrael are Mamin. We are Mamin, the Zikne Yisrael were Mamin, and in the Koyach of the Emunah of Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Paro with Aaron to demand the freedom of Bnei Yisrael. And here we have another concept, which is in the Svarim is called the Ichud Sibur Umasubur V'Ruchnius. In Ruchnius, the cause and effect merge, they are one. There's no you do it and something else results. What you do is itself the Totsor. By going to power and demanding freedom, it was already a demonstration of freedom, because they could stand up to the Melech. And that was how the Geula worked. And the Geula was based on the Bnei Yisrael having a very, very powerful self-image that was essential. You could not have a Geula without self-image. We'll come to that in a moment, but I want to say a word about the Koach of Yisrael, and that's why we have to have the self-image. I once heard a very beautiful thought from a Kreisviot, Zeichut Tzadik Livrocha, the Antwerpener of. He came, actually he was in London, I had the schus, he came to visit and actually to have a meal with us. Not in my schus, the schus of my Shver and Shviga, whom we had great derechertz for. And he told us the following. He said that by far the biggest natural resource in the world today is oil. Oil produces billions of dollars every week. And the Torah is Meshabeach, Eretz Chito Sa'ora, Eretz Hasha'ava Ne'abazo, Ma'arach Hotzev Nechoshes. Doesn't mention oil. Why is oil not mentioned in the Torah? It's the biggest of all the natural resources around. And he said very simply, because it's not a renewable source. You use it and it's gone. And the Torah is never Meshabeach something which is here and then gone. Yovesh Chatzia Novel Tzitz, but Dvalu Kenu Yokum La'olam. And therefore the Torah doesn't praise oil, because oil is a one-off use and it's finished. Everything the Torah praises, the precious stones and the metal, that lasts. You can have gold and kalim which are thousands of years old, and similarly peiros produce more peiros. Everything has got to be renewable to be worthwhile. And that is a koach of Yisrael. If I use an English expression, excuse me if it's not correct, it's called renewability. Right, it renews itself. His chadshus, says the Chiddush Arim, v'yokom melech chodosh al Mitzrayim. How could the word chodosh be used for this Russia? This Russia, how could he be described as a melech chodosh? Chodosh is a high madregain, the maila min Hashemesh, yes chodosh, matam min Hashemesh, there's no chodosh. How could we describe this Russia this way? The answer is Chiddush is our Koach, it's the Koach of Yisrael, who count their months according to the Levona. This is the Koach of Yisrael, Chiddush. But we didn't use it. Lo Shomar Moshe, says the Pasuk Mekotzer Ruach, says the Sephorno, Kotzer Ruchnius, or short of Ruchnius. The pressure of the Shibud had drained them so much that they couldn't be massing the Eschadshus which the Bo'olam was showing. And therefore, what happens to the chiddush? It goes over to the goy. The goy can't be mechadish positively. Nischadshu gzeirosov. So, although it's the property of the yid, it went to the goy, but it's used by the goy to bring us back, so it becomes ours again. Nischadshu gzeirosov. And then b'tal shavosom elikim min avodah. And the process of gula begins. Until after all this, we go through the whole procedure of hischadshus as a result of experiencing the makos and seeing the Yad Hashem, and we reach a stage when the Ribono Shel Olam says, "Achodesh azeh lochem, achodesh is chidush," says the Rim. Chidush is yours; it's your sole priority. It's the priority of the Yid, lochem, and that's the koach of the Yid, nischias, hischadshus, because that which is nischadesh is forever. There's a beautiful Yerushalmi in Brochus. And this Yerushalmi, I have a tzivoy from my Rebbe, Reb Noson Ornman. I'm not allowed to explain this Yerushalmi. I've got to let it speak for itself. The Yerushalmi says, there was a melech godlel who had a unique treasury with most precious and rare items which existed in the world. And in that unique treasury, there was one single key, a small key. And he was afraid. What happens if he loses the key? Then he'll have to break open the treasury, it'll be hefka. On the other hand, if you make a duplicate of a tree, of a key, if you've got two, you'll have three. He decided on a simple eitzah. He was afraid he'd lose the key. He took a long chain and fixed it to the key. And therefore he said, even if the key was in danger of being lost, but the chain is so long, you'll never lose the chain. Shiteifa kodesh bohu shmei hagodol im Yisrael. The Ribono Shel Olam took his great name, Aleph Lamed, and joined it as a great chain to the Yisrael, who is a small key. Yisrael, Yisrael. The Shem Hashem is part of our name, because we have this Kesher with the Borei Olam. And this Kesher, in fact, gives us the guarantee of Nitzchios, the Koch of Ischadshus. And with this, we can understand a Maimon in the Zohar. The Zohar Kodesh asks, I think it was Rabbi Avol, he met someone on the way, and someone said to him, "Rabbi, I don't understand. If you have a king, and the king has a rebellion, a tremendously powerful king, a world king, and there's a rebellion in a little village, so what does he do? He sends a few of his junior officers with a platoon of soldiers to put down the rebellion. You ever heard of the king going himself? How small compared to all the Olamos Elyonim is Olam Hazeh? And how far small is Mitzrayim? One little menshala in Mitzrayim decides to go into rebellion against you, Paro and his chevra. So why do you have to come yourself? Send one malach can do the job in a second. What do you need to come yourself? It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'kvodo me'atzmo lo yadei malach lo yadei shliach. What do you need it all for? So Rabbi Avol replied to him, "You're correct. There's no need for the melech to come. But in this particular situation there is a need. Because not only is there a rebellion, but they've captured the queen, the Matronusa. And when the queen is captured, the Melech HaGodol comes for the, as it were, release of the queen, Mishum Kavodo Shal Malko, because of the Kavod of the Malko. When Klal Yisrael are in Golos, the Shechina is in Golos. And therefore, the Shechina is in Golos with us, with Klal Yisrael, and therefore Kodesh Baruch Hu comes, Mishum Kavodo Shal Hashechina. And the Kvodo L'shchino is the Kovod of Yisrael. And that's the Stolzkeit that Yid has got to have. That's the firmness. And that's the self-image which is required for Geula. Not to look at yourself as being, you know, trodden on by the Goyim and of no significance. Fakeat. You would have been Tema Omer Havi Az Kenema Kal Kanesha Rotzke Tzvi U'Gibber Kari. Says Yehuda ben Tema, there are four different Madregas here. I'm now learning this bit of Ovos, like Reb Leib Chassman learns it. Yehuda ben Tema Omer Hever Az Kanemer Chutzpedik. A Nemer is a relatively small of the big cats. It'll stand up to any creature in the jungle, even 10 times its weight, because it's got this Kirch of Azus. Because it knows, as it were, that whatever happens, it's not going to give in. And that's the quality Yid has got to have. He's got to have that koch of the Azus to Kedusha. When they were beating the tails of Ov, but the Rishoyim Yimach Shemom and the Melchom, they said, Herabina, are you now the chosen people? And the tells of Rav, Zecher Tzadik v'Kodesh Livracha, before he was Nifta, he said, as long as we're the people being beaten and not those doing the beating, we're the chosen people. Azos to Kedusha. Second is Kal Kaneshe. Kal Kaneshe, Nesher, an eagle, takes its food from the earth and is Ma'aloet to the Shemei Shomayim. We've got to take our Gashmias from the physical world and elevate it. Rots Kutzvi. Every creature has got its means of survival in the jungle. Everyone. The Tzvi is a very big animal, very good meat, but not a great fighter. It's very exposed, and any of the predators in the jungle would look for a Tzvi as being an ideal victim. The Tzvi has got one means of survival. It runs. It's very fast. It runs literally for its life. Rots Kutzvi means you've got to run to do mitzvahs like the Tzvi runs for its life. Our rots is to do the rots of the Rabbeinu Shalom because it's our life. And finally, says Reb Leib Chassman, the Gibur Kari, and this is really why I wanted to mention Yehuda Ben Tamer's memra. The Ari is Doreis V'Ochel. It, as it were, when it kills, it eats on the spot. Most creatures in the jungle, when they have its food, drag their food to their lair and eat it in peace. But the lion knows that no one will disturb a hungry lion when he's having his suddah. So for his doris ochel on the spot, he's aware that the greatest koach in the world is his. And that's the gevurah we've got to have. And the reason why I say all this is because of a Sephorno. The Sephorno says that the Sibba for the Golos Mitzrayim was a lack of self-image among the Yidden. How so? It's a Sephorno at the beginning of Shemos. When Paro wanted to get rid of the Yidden at the beginning, he was scared of them. It was not politically correct for him to kill the Yidden. He wanted to expel them from the country, but he couldn't do it directly. So he asked his people to give the Yidden impossible working conditions in the hope they'd all get up and go. He just wanted to get rid of them. The Yidden, instead of defying this, instead of getting up and going, they accepted it. They didn't have sufficient self-image. As Power said, you want to be slaves and you accept it, okay, you'll be proper slaves. Lack of self-image caused the golos of Mitzrayim. And therefore, to re-establish our self-image is the essence of Geula. And that's why it's so important. But Tzadok HaKohen tells us a great Yesod. If you want to end a golos, you've got to take the koach of tuma of the golos and sublimate it l'shem shomayim. For example, the Yevonim had a gewaltig midah of azus. They had chutzpah, says Reb Tzadok. The Chashmonoi used the azus, but the azus to kedusha, to defy the Greek army. And therefore they took the koach of tumah and used it the tov. It's bechinus b'shnei yetzurecho, yetzar tov v'yetzar ra. The chiddush is that we're using the yetzar ra, which they use negatively, but we're using it positively. The madrega of our present golos is gaivo. It comes through gaivo. The whole of Kamsa bar Kamsa was based on gaivo. Gaivo is the middle of Edom, of the goyim. We've got to take this midah of gaiva, not chalila, to say how great we are, but to appreciate what we are, and to know how great a yid it is to be a yid. And therefore, self-image is the secret to the geula of Yisrael. How are we going time-wise? Sorry? So let me finish with one simple thought, if you give me mamash 2 minutes. I heard this, it's this feeling of, it's good to be a Yid, it's great, and it's not stam gezocht, it really is true. I heard this from Rebison Altursky, the daughter of Chaim Pinchas, and the anikul of All for the Boss, Yaakov Yosef Herman. When she made her first bar mitzvah, many, many years ago, her husband, her was a Talmud Chochum, and his her father-in-law was of the top Rabbonim in America in the Gehillas. Her own father, of course, was Chaim Pinchas, was a top Rosh Hashiva. So at the bar mitzvah of their first son, they had 15 darshonim, no less, 15. And each one of the mitzvah bocha happened to be quite short. And each one of these darshonim said to him, "Oy, sishveyas as I need." And every time they said it, the little boy got a bit smaller. On and on, shver, it's difficult, you've got to work hard. The 15th darshon was of Moshe Feinstein. And the people were pretty worn out with being shver as I need. But Moshe said, "It's nicht emes. It's a machayas as I need. It's not shver." And he took a glass of l'chaim, he wished everybody l'chaim, and he asked the Olam to get up and dance. L'kovod zayin ayid. Amachayas zayin ayid. Within 30 seconds, the atmosphere had changed. Everybody was dancing. It was a masiba of simcha, because it's a machayas zayin ayid. That's our self-image. And that will lead us to the geula b'mehera u'b'yomeinu.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.